What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Selms, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Hey, man. It's tough day.
We're pretty down bad, we were just talking about it before that the first year we did this.
I was riding high,
and I was in the dumps. Last year, I was riding high. You were in the dumps.
In 2020, I think, right? Or no, maybe not. Maybe just that first year. Because it's season three. So,
and then we're both in the dumps. Now we're both here.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Seven games and six games. It's just so sad.
It's a sad day, bad day. Sorry, state of hockey in the state of New York right now.
Brutal. We were clamoring so hard for that beautiful Rangers Isles series, and not even one of us made it.
it just sucks.
I'm not mad. I'm fuck, man.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. I'm just
disappointed. Exactly. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at. Last night was just, I never thought I'll turn Rangers games off during the regular season when they're getting beat, because I'm just who cares? It's just a regular season game. I don't need to watch this through the end, especially if they're losing. Why am I going to waste my time watch them lose a game? They're probably not going to come back, or they're not going to figure it out. So I'm just going to cut my losses and continue on with my night. Last night was the first time I think I ever turned off a Rangers playoff game while watching. And granted, I don't have a ton of experience with it, but I think when the third goal went in, I was just there's no coming back from this. There was four minutes left. Not going to watch the handshake line. I don't need to see it. It's over. I'm done. And I was telling Steph while I was walking her to her second job, her part-time job. I was also going there for food, but
God, you could have just left that anecdote out and pretended you were going to be a gentleman.
I mean, I walk her every time, but I also like go. It's at the bar we like going to, so I always pop in, say hi, get some food, leave, and then I'll go pick her up later and walk her home. So,
nice guy.
I told her, I'm outside of this podcast, I'm not going to think about this team until July. I'm literally just not. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to discuss the Rangers much unless I'm doing it on here. There's just really nothing to say right now, especially for the Rangers case. This team is so ironclad right now. There's not much they're going to be able to do. So unless they fire Gallant or Gallant, however you say it, you don't get that respect anymore.
When you said that a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I don't know, man. He got them to the Stanley Cup or the semifinal, last year. I was like, one bad year. I'm not sure. I think you're right. I think it sounds like he might be out, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's what a lot of outlets are reporting today. Well, what sucks is that a lot of outlets are reporting that they wouldn't be surprised if Gallant is out in New York. And now everyone's well, apparently Joel Quenneville's trying to get back in the league. It's why doesn't he just retire? What else do you have to prove? That's first. What else do you have to prove? Two, why are you trying to be reinstated? It was already bad enough. The whole league kind of turned on Chicago. People are still pretty pissed off at all the fans and stuff. And they're I think it was that stupid idiot Drager and your favorite reporter from the Daily Faceoff. they both reported that, if Gallant gets fired, do the Rangers look into maybe bringing in Joel Quenneville?
At least looking into it.
Do you know the definition of insanity, Kevin?
Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a smart move. Also to your point though, it's a bad PR move. I don't think if he does get reinstated, it's different. I think the Tony D'Angelo stuff, he's always a scumbag. And I think this is finally the he probably isn't going to be playing in the NHL much longer. He'll probably, you know, have a European career at this point. I don't think any team wants the headache of bringing Joel Quenneville in, because it's like,
that's the thing. It's like, even Pittsburgh looking at Stan Bowman, it's like, if you hire him, you know that people on Twitter, for better or worse, are going to rip the Rangers, and Stan Bowman's for Pittsburgh. But if they hire Quenneville, they're going to rip the Rangers to shreds just based on everything that happened, which was really bad.
And I think too, though, if you're thinking from like from a business perspective, it's not a good move to bring those guys in either, because now sponsorships and ad deals that you have and that players might get, they might those can get pulled away just because those companies don't want to be associated with a player or a team that hired someone that just kept quiet about something as horrible as what happened. So I don't know what is actually going to happen. You know, if Gallant is there in October, fine, you know, but I could see a world where he doesn't make it out of the summer.
It's just like what coach works, though. It's like Gallant was so hard-nosed. Quinn was pretty soft. It's like, I don't know. Like, what is the middle ground in this group? I don't know if it's – I saw a tweet. Is it like – is it Panarin? Like, kind of his – he's not exactly a leader for your $11 million guy. It's like, what's going on there that they just can't figure this out right now?
So like, it's interesting because I was listening to one of the Rangers beat writers. He was on Marek's show today. He goes on pretty frequently. And he said that the issue that Panarin has in the playoffs is that the playoffs are obviously a much tighter game. Yeah. So he's a very creative guy, and he needs a lot of space and a lot of ice to be able to do some of these things. And a lot of space and a lot of ice causes turnovers. And they said that's pretty much every team has figured it out. If you kind of just corner him a little bit, he's not going to be able to do as much. So I think that's what happened there. Yeah, this was, I think, a team that wasn't necessarily a team. They were just it was a team, but there was a lot of superstars, and they just kind of looked like it was a team with a bunch of superstars, not a team.
Think that's exactly what happened. And I don't know if it's did they push the right buttons at the deadline? I mean, Tarasenko was great, but is Kane really the fit? I mean, I think you need
so a bit more. That's what. Paper. That's what Vince also said on Marek's show. He was like, last year at the deadline, they brought in Mott, they brought in Braun, they brought in Kopp, you know, they brought in Vetrano. Not household names by any stretch of the means, but they were role guys. They knew what their role was to do. Win
the playoffs.
And look what happened there. The Rangers decided, let's not go that route this time. We think our team is good enough. Let's go for the superstars. And now you're exiting the first round. So maybe they have the formula figured out last year.
I would take a guy like Kopp 9 times out of 10 at this point. I mean, obviously, if it's 10 years ago, I'm taking Kane 10 times out of 10. But
yeah,
at this stage of the career, I'm taking Kopp last year over Kane.
Yeah, obviously, there was a way more success, and it's like it. It hurt more, and I think like the Rangers losing this series, I wasn't like distraught over it, and I haven't been distraught over it, because the better team won at the end of the day. Like the did Devils you see
that deserve to win a meter yesterday, by the way.
Yes, I did. The 6% for the Rangers,
6%.
Yeah,
that was nuts. I hate those things, but that was nuts.
Yeah, so that's stunk to see, but like. The better team won the series. I think the Rangers got lucky that it went to 7 because it really shouldn't have gone to 7. Maybe if they win game 3, that overtime loss, maybe the series is a little bit different. But
I mean, it's all semantics after a certain point when things happen over a playoff series. It's who knows? Like, who knows?
I think
he doesn't make a few more saves. It changes. I don't know.
One thing too, and this is something I told you I was gonna dive. Like, I don't think I was upset either about this loss as much as I was the run last year, because I think a lot of the time I kept just convincing myself that this team could make a run. I just felt like they could make a run. This is the year. And then when they played the Devils, and the Devils were just literally making them their bitch. I mean, just literally, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, it was just utter domination sometimes from the Devils. I'm watching the games. I'm like, this team isn't, they can't do it. They can't go on a run. I'm like, and then when the Rangers won on Saturday and then Boston lost, I was like, okay, maybe this team has a shot. Or if it was Sunday or whatever, I was like, maybe this team has a shot. Boston's out. The East is open.
I'm That's
like,
what I'm you saying. Know, you get to that
you win tomorrow. And, but even when they lost, I was like, yeah, I just started thinking, I'm like, could this team have beaten Carolina? Probably. Could they have beaten Toronto? I don't think so. Could they have beat Florida? I don't think so. It's like, it just sucks.
I mean, the door would have definitely been open. That's the thing that
would have been.
Hurts, obviously. It's because all these big giants fall, and the most recent cup winner in the league right now is 2006 with the teams remaining. So it's like, you get that close to exiting the first round, and it's just like, it hurts that much more because who knows what would have happened after that, you know? It's like when the Islanders in 2021, it's like, if you just got that one more win, you're facing Montreal. It's like stuff like that that just hurt. It's all hearsay to a point, but it definitely hurts some more, you know?
Yeah, it sucked. Like, the loss sucked, but I wasn't angry. I was just kind of like, this team just, I don't know, like, what they would have done. It just seemed like they kind of gave up. And I was way more invested in last year's team. I don't know what it was about last year's team. And I think the whole mantra that started online on Twitter, like, there's why not us? Like, I felt it
last year. I think when expectations are high, like,
that's the thing too. The expectation was high.
Remember that Rex Ryan thing? It was like, when expectations are high, that's where you want to be. I don't know. I think sometimes last year, like, the Rangers, nobody expected them to really be that good, win the division.
Yeah. Like,
it's like, that's so much more fun than, oh my God, now we have Patrick Kane and people are saying, oh, the Rangers might win the cup this year. And then that happens.
Yeah. It just kind of sucks. It's like, oh man, like, there were such high expectations and this team just kind of shit the bed. But yeah, like, last year was like, no one was expecting them to be that great. They were going into the playoffs. It was a year ahead of schedule, apparently. Yeah. You know, they had the home ice. It's like, they went down to the wire with Pittsburgh, down to the wire with Carolina. They looked awesome against Tampa the first couple games. It was just like, holy, like,
you know,
that's, I was just like, this team just, like, I was so connected to the team. I was so invested in the team. It seemed like last year's team was way tighter than this year's team for some strange reason. Like, it just felt like everyone gelled and clicked more than they did this year. And it just sucks that it's over. But, you know, I had also said too that this team would go as far as Igor would take them. And I think the team ultimately let Igor down. I think he was far and away the best Ranger on the ice. He did everything to keep them in these games. And I liked this tweet before. In these, you know, seven playoff games, he finished with a .931 save percentage and a .196 goals allowed average. So, you know, your goalie is doing everything he can to keep you in the game, and you guys couldn't score goals. And it doesn't help that they were, I think, 1-for-19 on the power play after game two.
That's crazy.
That's embarrassing. And I mean, I just kept convincing myself, score on this power play, this game's different. Score on this power play, this game's different. And I said it fucking 19 times, and they only did it once. It's just like, Jesus, dude, what else can I do? Like, what can I do?
How can I get out there? I mean, like, it's just like the big guys too. Mika, one goal. Panarin, zero.
Panarin was embarrassing. That one, yeah. Like, I was flabbergasted how bad he looked.
He's getting a lot of heat, and the guy that I tweeted about that I'm curious your take on that's getting a lot of heat is Alexis Lafreniere. It's like, I don't know what you do at this point, but
Tony Snell meme.
He was skating around out there. He wasn't doing anything. It was kind of crazy. Like, I don't know if they need him to make a step or if it doesn't need a new change of scenery, but like, it's getting really dangerous levels right now, I think, to A, his mental confidence, and B, just in general, like, people legitimately calling him like a bust.
Yeah.
And I think to clarify, I think bust, people get it wrong before you go ahead. I think people think that it's like, oh, this guy is terrible. You know, he's Patrick Stefan. He's Alexander Day. He's had the league in 2 years. I think Lafreniere is still a serviceable third line player. But given the expectations, I think it might be almost reasonable at this point to say that. And that's me trying not to be like a hater. Like, I just.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think a lot of people have been expecting him, or were expecting him this year to make a a huge leap.
Yeah, and he's getting comparisons.
and I don't necessarily know if like the Rangers will give up on him, because I guess like
I think next year,
he'll probably get a 1 year deal, and it's going to be, I think, a figure it out year, because
exactly.
I don't necessarily think Byfield wowed anyone in the playoffs either. And he was his counterpart, and there was a lot of discussions. Byfield can go one, or Laff can go one.
Who should win one? Stutzel.
Yeah.
Stutzel's the best player in that draft right now. Byfield's not great either.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I don't want to say both teams whiffed on the pick, because everyone was saying at the day of the draft, it was consensus 1-2.
Yeah.
So it sucks. I think once the season was officially over after that game had ended, Laff became the whipping boy, and it was really deserved.
It was still pretty rough though. I was like, geez,
it was tough. I mean, it was literally our friend Kevin Camp was texting in a group chat I have with him and a bunch of Rangers guys. He was like, literally knew Tony Snell meme, and it was like one of those stat muse things.
Literally.
And it was all zeros across the board in all seven categories.
He legitimately did not do anything. It was kind
of. And you know what? Hey, at least he had a zero plus minus. So you weren't a net negative there.
So like, if the Rangers make any moves, like what's the glaring need for you right now to like fix this team per se?
So the issue is because this team is so ironclad in a cap crunch.
You have to do something wild.
First and foremost, I think they need to lock down Miller. I think he is probably the number one guy to lock down.
Yeah,
that's true. So you lock him down. Hopefully you get him at a reasonable contract for a reasonable amount of time, and then you revisit.
I can see him at like 3 years in the twos, maybe the low threes.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I think Laff gets another crack at it. Maybe they bring Mott back as well, but I don't know.
You would enjoy that.
I would. I would enjoy it. But
just trade for him again at the next deadline.
Yeah, it's kind of a logjam because I think this team really wants to bring Ottman up next year. I think the whole organization was really bothered that he couldn't play in the AHL this year, because I think they wanted him to play in the AHL this year. They did not want him to light it up.
That feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, and he was drafted 2021, so it was like he's someone I think the whole organization wants to see play. So I think they're going to bring him up, but he's also a left winger. So it's like, do you want to play him on the right wing? Is it going to be that much of a difference? Because Kane's going to be gone, so there is a spot for him. Tarasenko's probably going to go, so there might be a spot for him. I would say maybe if they want to just play it safe, and they could probably get him pretty cheap, keep Mikkola.
I didn't really notice him in any of the games. I wasn't really paying too close attention to him, personally.
He was not playing bad, and there was multiple instances when the Rangers weren't doing anything. He was the one that was jumping into the play and getting the puck up the ice and kind of speeding by guys. And I'm like, that's not good that the guy who's 6'6" is the fastest guy on the ice right now, and he's a defenseman as well.
That's the thing about defensemen. Like, you want them to do – you don't want to notice them unless it's, like, a good player. Like, oh, yeah, there's Mikkola. Like, nice. Like, you
so, want like I, think, I feel like if they lock him up, that on the back end, you're coming back with the same defense. Which I wouldn't be upset about. Harper as your 7th D. I'm not angry about that. I think there's a lot of questions on like who because they have such a small amount of cap space, you know, who could they trade? And so many guys have like no move clauses or no trade clauses.
Panarin's not going anywhere.
Panarin's not going anywhere. Truba's not going anywhere. Kreider's not going anywhere. Zibanejad's not going anywhere. Trocheck's not going anywhere. Gaudreau is probably the only one, and even he has a no move clause.
I could see that this summer, though. Oh, 1-0 Panthers.
Wow.
They just killed two penalties, too. Wow. But yeah, I could see Gaudreau. I thought they would keep him a little bit longer, but I think that if you want $3 million, 3.3 in cap, like, you got Gaudreau.
You essentially have him for four more years. That's the tough part. You got to move a four-year contract.
Did he sign for 6 years?
And it's not. Yeah, he gets on a 6-year deal, and it's not. And it That's wasn't. Crazy. And it wasn't front loaded either. Hold on, monologue for a second. I'll pull up his cap friendly. God.
That is crazy. Yeah, you guys are definitely locked in unless something really weird happens. I don't know. I think it's just about getting the right depth pieces, I guess, and figuring out what type of hockey you want to play. I mean, that's really all it is, I guess.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I have Goodrow's cap friendly up right now.
I'm scared.
So it's a 60, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All 6 years, he has a modified no trade clause.
Oh,
they gave him a modified no trade clause for 6 years. Every year, his cap hit is $3,641,667. The AAV is the same. He doesn't have any performance bonuses. He did get a signing bonus last year and this year.
He has, for the next 2 years, I mean, his base salary is, I mean, his cap hit is 3.6, which is really high to begin with, but his base salary jumps up to 5 in the next 2 years, which is a lot for him. So, you know, if you're Goodrow, you have a modified no trade, 10 teams probably. None of the rebuilding teams are going to want to pay him $5 million. They want those high cap hits that have low salaries so they can just pay him and move on. So no rebuilding team is going to want him. And then if he just puts 10 middling teams that would probably want him, I don't think there's more than 10 teams that are at the top that are going to have that much freaking cap space for Barclay Goodrow, you know? So I think he might be unmovable.
Yeah, it's a really, really tough contract. Granted, he doesn't have a signing bonus the next 3 years, so that you can probably maybe I think he probably stays for
brutal.
Yeah, he probably stays for another 2 years, and maybe that fifth year, going into that fifth year of the contract, when you can move him, because it's only a 3.75 base salary, no signing bonus. It's the cheapest he's gonna be.
Man, I can't get over that salary the next 2 years.
Or one of the cheapest years.
That was not a good contract structure for the Rangers. Yikes.
No, it was dumb when they signed it. You know, it was really, really dumb. Yeah.
Not great. So they're pretty
locked in. And he's 30. So by the time you trade him, he'll be 32 going on 33. So it's tough. This team, they're in a little bit of a weird place just because they don't have many guys that they can move. Looking into you're not going to move Panarin. So just in terms of what they can do, Panarin, no move clause, Zibanejad, no move clause, Kreider, no move clause, Trocheck, no move clause, Goodrow, modified, no move clause. And then Trouba also has a no move clause. So those are five guys. And out of those five guys, Trouba's making 8. Goody's making, 3.6. Trocheck's making 5.6. Kreider's making 6.5. Mika's making 8.5. And Panarin's making 11.6.
The only person you could move that I see on this list, which I don't think they're going to do because he's still new here, is Trocheck. But then that also leaves you with a massive gap down the middle. So I think you're right. I think this team kind of is what it is, minus maybe a few pieces here and there that maybe switch up. Just depth pieces pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And it begs the question though, what are they going to do at backup goaltender? I don't think Halak's going to get another go at it. He's also 37. It would be really dumb for them to bring someone. Do you bring up someone in the farm? Do you bring up?
They find something cheap.
Yeah. Do you bring up Louis Domingue?
They get out of some dead cap this year. They get out of looks like about 3.4 mil of dead cap, which is nice. So that'll help. Not that it really helps their cap space because we know what they have already, but damn.
Yeah. Thank God they finally got all the dead cap off their books.
I mean, and you're even, I would argue, I mean, Igor 5.6 is a steal. I think Lindgren at 3 is kind of a steal. They got some decent contracts. I mean, the rest are but I think Hedl at 4.4 isn't bad.
No. Yeah, I mean, they have good pieces. I think that they need a new direction and coach. If I'm the Rangers, I think they need a new voice in the locker room. I don't think Gallant's coaching style works for this team. I think Trouba can pump them up so much, but I think they need a coach to also step in, because Gallant was also saying, like, he went into, I think, game 6 or 7. He's like, I'm not talking to the guys. They know what they need to do. It's like, but you're the coach. You need to say something. I would say they need a new skating coach, because it was egregious how much slower they were.
The Devils are legitimately, I think, the fastest team I've seen in my entire life. It is honestly unbelievable. They obviously, that's their, clearly what they scout for is skating, because they are legitimately ridiculous.
It's like they were just so quick. They would turn so quick. Their edge work was so good. It's like they could stop on a dime and two strides, they're already caught up to you. Like if you beat them, like they're already right back in your face.
And they don't have Hughes or Nemec yet. Luke Hughes, that is.
It is.
Oh boy.
It is insane how fast they are. And I think that the Rangers need to move their analytics and out of being in-house. You have a guy who works for you that has an analytics company that other teams in the NHL use. Why not just use it as well? You already pay the guy, or MSG already pays the guy. It's use his company. He literally has, Valiquette has a fucking analytics company, and he puts out his analytics every Rangers game. He literally uses his website to put out like what the scoring chances were, what was high danger and low danger, and it's
frustrating.
Get a new analytics department. You probably have to fire Gallant. You got to get a new skating coach and test the waters. I also don't have any expectations either going into the summer, because I never know what the GMs actually have in their minds going on. I could imagine if Drury wasn't on the phone yet, he'll probably be on the phone with teams by the end of the week just to see test feelers. I think their breakup day is tomorrow. So I think after tomorrow, it's pretty much a safe bet that Drury and the front office are going to be getting to work in terms of getting the draft set up and seeing what they could do there. It sucked, but it is what it is. We move on, and maybe next year.
Nevertheless, we persist.
This year, the Rangers don't have many picks, so I don't. They don't really need to prepare for the draft. They have a first rounder, Colorado's third, and then they don't pick again until the sixth round.
Yeah, look at that. At least they still the first. They gave up one, what Dallas is, right?
And they gave up the worst of the two. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. All right, cool. Islanders cap friendly.
But I hope the Devils and Lice Boy get fucking shit pumped the next round.
I wouldn't mind if Carolina won. I'll say that. Even though they play the Islanders, I don't. I don't want the Leafs to win either, though. It's like, I don't want anybody to win. I need somebody out west to win. I don't care who it is. Hopefully Dallas.
I think when Boston lost, Edmonton, Vegas, and I guess Colorado, or not Colorado, the Kraken, they just started foaming at the mouth. Because, outside of the Leafs.
Respect to my stars. They're dogs. Dallas is the best goaltender left in the playoffs. That's what I'm going with. I mean, you look at who's left here. It's Bob, who was pretty good. Schmid. Samsonov. Schmid. Samsonov. Ronta. Stuart Skinner.
Skinner.
And Philip Grubauer. I don't know. I'm riding the Otter on that one.
Yeah, the Otter is you got that right. The Otter is the best goalie left.
Indeed.
What about the Islanders? How are you feeling? Their season ended a couple days before the Rangers.
I've had a few more days to process.
on a tough play to end the season.
That rat. all those episodes ago. Gosh, I mean. That might have been our first season. I think it was.
It definitely was the first season. Yeah, it was about 2 years ago.
I remember where I was. I was at my girlfriend's college house. So that was 2021 at the minimum. Maybe late 2020. where you texted me.
It was like, 2021. Oh, I was in Vegas. It was May 2020. I can tell you exactly when it was. It was May 2021.
Yeah. Paul Stastny, the guy had four shots this series. You already hate him. He's on my list. Three of them are goals. And two of them were legitimately, I think they were game winners at the end of the game. It's kind of unbelievable how poor that went. But, you know, I missed most of game six. I was playing in my beer league. But am I sad that the Islanders lost? Sure. Just in the fact that I don't get to see them until October. Because who cares about preseason? Not I.
I get that. It sucks.
So that's the thing. It's like, I'm not sad. I'm just like, or I am sad. I'm not like upset. Like, quite frankly, they lost to the Hurricanes. I'm not surprised.
They lost to a really hurt Hurricanes too, which was why I was like fucking
that was
clamoring for the Rangers to make it. Because I'm like, they don't have, Teravainen will probably be back in like
now he's done, a couple weeks.
Oh, they officially shelved him?
He had surgery. I mean, Svechnikov's out the year and Pacioretty's out the year. So that's – I mean, they're missing three top six forwards. That's a shame of it. And, man, they just pour it on out there. It seems like every time they get the puck in their zone, it's like a clean exit. They are the best transition team I've seen in my life. It's kind of incredible how well-coached and disciplined to their game they are. I mean, Jordan Staal doesn't get enough respect as – probably one of the premier shutdown men in the league. He is absolutely incredible. I mean, they're a well-coached team. I mean, that's really all it is. Rod DeBod is doing a great job down there, even though he is the biggest whiner to the refs I've ever seen in my life, and it's absolutely ridiculous. But just to recap the series really quick.
Before you do that, talking about whiners, I was convinced last night I think it was in the first or second period. I was convinced that Hughes was going to get tossed at some point.
Yeah, he was
what a fucking crybaby he is. I mean, if he doesn't get a call, he was screaming at a ref at one point, and the Devils kept the puck in, and someone tried throwing the puck to him, and he didn't see it coming because he was still yelling at the ref, and the ref, and then when he went to the bench, like Lindy went over to him, Meyer wrapped his arm around him, was like, you got to calm down. Like,
yeah.
This is a problem.
He's young. I mean, even like in that Seattle game where they scored I think it was game five when they scored the OT winner, like McKinnon was on the ground just complaining about the trip and he didn't get back and cover his man. So kind of glad you brought that up though, because first two games in Carolina, two losses. Game one, you know, it is what it is. It was a 2-1 loss. They didn't really play that good. But whatever. Game two was where the series really kicked up into like overdrive because 4-3 overtime loss. The Islanders actually played really well that game, but it was the game where Francois Charron missed the blatant high stick on Scott Mayfield in overtime.
That was the ref show.
That game was the ref show. And it's fine in the sense that you don't want to call it an overtime. The guy was just winging his stick around. I get it. It's just really frustrating when 30 seconds later they come down and score, which was a weak overtime goal once again, by the way. But, I mean, the refs were absolutely horrendous the first two games. Even game four, they really were not great. Game three was a well-officiated game. I thought the rest of the series was good. But like you and I were texting about it. The start of this playoffs was absolutely horrific refereeing all around.
Oh, yeah. It was tough everywhere. I mean, I have to think Gary made a call to someone to say the refs need to get their shit together because it was apparent, anyone who was watching these games, it was some of the worst officiating I had ever seen.
It's crazy. And it cost the Islanders probably – it cost them a game. I'm not going to say two games. It cost them a game. It cost Minnesota a lot of games. I mean, those Marcus Foligno penalties. I think the refs are doing what they're told by the league, but I think the league was like, oh, man, like this is a really, really bad look because people were really pissed, and I think it was pretty rightful. Because quite frankly, when I'm watching a playoff game, oh man, I have to try to – let me see if I can find the penalty stats here for these first two games. Let me see if I could find the power play stats. Okay, so four power plays apiece in game one. Oh my God, I forgot this happened. The power plays in game two were 6-0 Carolina. How do you let that happen? You're telling me they play a perfect game for 65 minutes, 70 minutes?
It's tough.
And I know they didn't because they high stick Scott Mayfield in the face. That's unacceptable. But they definitely changed something. I think the league thought it was really bad optics, but it's a shame when it comes down to that, where the roughing is that bad, where teams and fans, to a certain extent, feel just slighted, and it's not fair to the fans of the team who pay to watch this product. If I'm watching a playoff game, like I'm watching the Islanders in the playoffs, I don't want to watch the penalty kill six times. That's not what playoff hockey is about. Regular season, fine. I don't really care. But I feel like I'm more of a hockey purist, where I'm like, the playoffs are another level. And I think everybody kind of understands that it should be tighter checking, less penalties, bigger hits, you know, get your head up. Like, even last night, I thought the Timo Meier hit, I thought that was clean. He was skating to the middle with his head down.
Yeah. Pick up your head. That's like what the first thing they teach you when you're playing hockey is literally, don't skate with your head down.
People can say, I mean, obviously I feel bad for the guy. It's a rough hit, but man, Panthers are all over them right
they,
now.
Him and Trouba embraced in the handshake line. Yeah. He made it to the line and stuff. And I think he knew too, like, you know, it sucks. You don't want to see it, but clear as day, clean hit. Up. And you got to just respect the fact that you got caught.
Like, he can accept it, but everybody on Twitter, of course, cannot accept it. Like, oh, you know, I get it. You're trying to limit brain injuries, which is obviously a very important thing. But you can't – Trouba can't – you're down 3-0 at that point, I think. Maybe it was 2-0. Trouba
is 2-0 still. When the hit happened, I was like, this will – oh, jeez. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Hold on. Monologue.
He's trying to fire his team up. Chris's cat just jumps right in front of the camera. He's trying to fire his team up. He can't like skate through the middle and be like, oh, like, oh, Meier skating with his head down like an idiot. Let me pull up and not do anything and let him enter the zone. One of the best snipers in the league. What, like, what is wrong with you? It's crazy.
But sorry, that was chaotic. It was still 2-0. I was hoping when it happened, I was like, maybe that'll wake the team up. Because there was, I think, like 8 minutes or something left. I'm like, you know what? Maybe they get a quick one here. They're all riled up after the hit. It wasn't the case, but clean hit nonetheless.
Yeah. So back to the Islanders, you know, tough loss in game 2. Come back with a dominating win in game 3. Love and life. They played great. They got 4 in the
third period. Yeah, was that the 4 in like minute and a half?
The 4, so it's 16:09 to 18:27. So that's what, a minute and 18, something like that. So, hey, quickest 4 goals in Stanley Cup playoff history, which is so stupid that the 2023 New York Islanders accomplished that feat. Of all the people in the world, you know, Gretzky and Curry and Lemieux and Jagr and Bossy and Trottier and Messier and Gretzky. Nope, it was Palmieri, Martin, Mayfield, and honestly, like that's
now, do you want to that just had me thinking, unrelated to hockey, it's actually European football related. there's a team in the Premier League, West Ham. They're currently fighting relegation in the Premier League, but I think they're in like the semifinals of the Europa League cup final, which is the second best trophy you could win in all of European soccer. And it's like, this, it's just funny to like think, and the reason why I'm thinking of it is because like you just said, it was Mayfield, Martin, and you know, ridiculous. Just a fourth line, and it's like this football team is a fourth line of the Premier League, and they might be the second best team in Europe if they they win this championship.
It's that's a pretty good comparison. I mean, don't expect that out of the Islanders, but it is what it is. And then I was at game 4 at UBS, which was rocking at the start, by the way, for about the first 3 minutes when the Islanders were all over them. They took a garbage call, thanks to Wes McCauley, of a goaltender interference. Parise literally got pushed to the goalie, but whatever. That was right before Ryan Pulak absolutely ended Jack Drury's life with that hit in the corner, which, again, people were mad about it, but Drury literally turned into him. Like, you know, don't blame the big hits if players are being stupid. That's my take, quite frankly. So
this was pretty bad this first round. It was twice. He called 2 of the Devils Rangers games, and it was twice because he was also calling a game like a day or two before Rangers Devils game 7. And he fucked up. I think it was, I think L.A. Edmonton in L.A. Byfield had a they called him for holding. and he was calling, and I was texting you about it. I'm like, Dursey. He calls Dursey, who's on the bench, and he's sitting on the bench, like looking at everyone. He's like, what? Like, I didn't do anything. And he did the same thing yesterday. Miller with a clear penalty, and he's calling Goodrow, who's literally still in the neutral zone. Goodrow's like, I'm not going into the box, and they had to call upstairs and be like, it's 79, bud, not 21.
Yeah.
And the Dursey thing I can understand, 53, 55, similar numbers, pretty close. 21, 79. One guy's black, one guy's white. I don't really know how you fuck that one up.
Yeah, I mean, he had a bad game. I mean, at the end of the first period, it was 1-0, and the refs were coming out. Where I was sitting, it was right the section right where the refs would come in and out. And they were getting reamed. I mean, people were...
I can only imagine.
Nobody threw anything, but I mean, there were middle fingers. There were obscenities. It was really bad. But, you know, the thing about that game was with a minute into the third period, the Islanders now 4-0. The refs didn't lose the Islanders that game. I think it's a shame that they called Parise for that first goal interference because it was not a penalty. And it kind of snowballed into that 5-on-3 where the Hurricanes got the first goal and took the crowd out of it, and it kind of just went downhill from there because the Islanders were all over them for the first 3.5 minutes. They had like 7 shots in 3 minutes. But at the end of the day, the Islanders did not lose that game because of the referees. They did not play good at all. I mean, Horvat got his one goal of the series that game. I mean, you want to talk about players not living up to what they should be. Horvat, I think, had one goal and 2 assists, and his only goal was a shorthanded breakaway with 2 minutes left in a 5-1 game. I mean, if you're going to pay this guy $8.5 million next year, which I'm not panicking yet because I think Barzal is playing at about 60%, which I think might be generous. I mean, he's basically getting the on-ice equivalent of Matt Martin in ice time. So he clearly wasn't himself. So I think if they give them a whole year to kind of gel and become that duo, that he'll be good, and I think he'll be fine. But, you know, definitely disappointing that if you're paying this guy $8.5 million, you want him to carry some weight for himself, you know? Like, he can't just ride on Barzal's coattails, you know? So that was really disappointing for Horvat. So they lose game 4, come back with a squeak out a really nice game 5 win in Carolina. Love to see that. Barzal, Nelson, and Engvall got those. And then, unfortunately, game 6, a real weak overtime goal. They started Freddie Anderson for the first time, but a pretty harmless play overall. Pellick gets the puck in the corner, tries to flip it up, whiffs. They keep it on by like the hair of their chin, and Paul Stastny kind of just fires a shot through the crease from the corner that hits Sorokin's stick, I believe, or maybe it was his skate and just goes in. So, you know, there's a lot of bounces that can go both ways in a series. It's disappointing. There's probably more moments in there, I think, through those 6 games that I don't remember that were game changers, because I don't think we've talked about any of the – or maybe we did. Did we talk about games 1 and 2? I think we might have. Maybe we didn't.
We might have.
I don't remember, but there's probably –
No, we did. Yeah, I think we did.
There's all these little moments here and there in the playoffs that, like, I was probably pissed off about in the moment, but at the end of the day, I think the deserving team won the series, which is disappointing. Because I do expect more out of a team with Ilya Sorokin, who I think he needs to develop his clutch gene because he just doesn't quite have it yet with that. I mean, you saw it last year against Boston, or 2 years ago against Boston. He kind of got shell-shocked. He gives up some weak goals. Even in, I think it was game 1, the first goal of the series was kind of – or sorry, that the first goal was fine, but maybe it was game 2. It was like a slap shot from the half wall with nobody in front of him. The OT goal in game 2 was – he was kind of leaning to the post, and it just like floated in. It's – some weak goals here and there. I'm not blaming him at all. I think he's fine, but
there was also the Aho goal.
Yep. Oh God, I completely forgot about that. That was honestly one of the most depressing things I've ever watched in my life. What game was that? Was that the? I think that was the OT loss in game 2, where Aho. Yeah, it was game 2. So I think we talked about it, but I mean that was just a depressing goal. So
I also thought it was funny at one point. Both Sebastian and Aho were in the box at some point. That was pretty funny.
So I don't really know where the Islanders go from here. I mean, kind of like the Rangers, they're pretty locked into what they have. You know, you have Barzal and Horvat kicking into new extensions next year. Horvat's going up to 8.5 from 4.1, and Barzal's going up from 7 to 9.1. So that's a lot of money eaten up. It sounded like from the exit interviews that Josh Bailey was gone. So I think he has played his last game as an Islander. People want Clutterbuck and Lee to be out, but I don't think there's any chance that happens. I mean, is Lee a first-line player? He didn't really look good in the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe I'll give him some time with Barzal and Horvat, but he certainly looks like he's slowing down a lot. But he's also he's making $7 million for the next 1, 2, 3 years, and he's got a no-trade clause right now, which goes until next year where he gets a 15-team list. So maybe next year, maybe next summer if things go bad, you say, do we look into trading Anders Lee for something and make Horvat the captain? I think it's possible, but I think Lee is absolutely back. I think Clutterbuck's absolutely back. I mean, Bailey's probably the only one on the way out. So I don't know. Mayfield will probably be back. I think Varlamov's back. I think they're both here on cheaper deals. I think they're just going to run it back, man. I think they're going to say, hey, they survived, I think it was 20-something games without Palmieri, 20-something games without Pelech, and they finished the whole season without Barzal, and they still scrapped to the playoffs. I think they say, hey, we're going to give Barzal and Horvat a full year. We're going to maybe try to keep Engvall and keep that line together, which was fantastic with Palmieri and Nelson. And I think they're going to see what a full season can do because I think they made their tweaks now rather than in the summer. Because I think, say it was July 1st and the Islanders signed Engvall and traded for Horvat, people would be like, yeah, like that's a good offseason. But since it happens in March and they do nothing in July, people are like, oh, like, oh, classic Lou, he's asleep again. But
yeah,
I think they made their moves early. So I think they run back with the same team. Good for Hudson Fashing to get a 2-year deal, $775K per year. It's great, great value. So I don't know. A few tweaks here and there. I think they move Bailey or they buy out Bailey. I think a trade for a cap dump trade probably makes more sense. But I think a few tweaks. Depends if Parise comes back. I think that's a big thing. If he retires or not, he basically said he's going to play with the Islanders or nothing. So I'd love to have him back. I mean, he plays like he's 30 and he's almost 40. So I'm cool with that. He plays like he's 25, quite frankly. So I don't know. I think they're running it back with basically the same team. So I think they give it another shot because I think they scrapped their way in this year with some really bad luck on injuries. So
yeah,
we'll see. I think it's got to accept it, man. You know, this is the team. They built the team like this. It was a little weird that Lamoureux and Lambert didn't speak on media day, but I think Lambert comes back and I think Lou comes back. And I think like this, or I hope if things go bad next year, like this kind of has to be the last dance for this core. Like it's either do it now or you got to make some serious changes. Like you got to look at Clutterbuck. You got to look at that whole fourth line probably besides Ezekias, you know, do you move on from Martin and Clutterbuck and Lee and, I mean, Dobson had a really bad playoffs. I mean, are we getting back on that train? A lot of people want Dobson gone. So I don't know. I think this is a team, but it's a shame it happened. That's life.
Nevertheless. Hey, at least at this point, you could say you were the first one on the trade Dobson trade.
I know. Well, he improved himself, and then, man, he had a really bad playoffs. He had a really bad year in general. I mean, every time he was in the defensive zone, it was just like a train wreck, just unfolding before your eyes. It was honestly malpractice to keep him on the top power play, which power play was absolutely awful during the playoffs, instead of putting Sebastian Aho on there. I would have put Pulock and Aho on the power play. They had their – literally every time the Islanders were up, like late in the game, like by 2-3 goals, they would put 2 defensemen on the power play and they would always score. Like why are you not doing that during the season?
Nobody knows.
Definition of insanity, man. Like you said, so it's a shame the season ended. It's a shame we just got to watch the playoffs with no horse in the race, just being haters about the Hurricanes and the Devils. And
I'm not watching that series. I don't think I'm gonna watch that series. I don't think I can. I think I can root for the Canes to win that series, but I don't think I could put myself through the torture of watching one of those teams win.
Yeah, it's like a lose-lose situation. I'd rather see Carolina win, but I'm worried. Like if Carolina, I think the Devils have a better chance of beating Toronto. I don't want John Tavares to win a cup. That's what I'm also worried about. I mean, man, talk about him, by the way, snapping 23 years for the Isles and 19 years for the Leafs. 42 years of playoff drought snapped by one man in overtime, nonetheless. Crazy.
It's got to come to. It's got to come to Manhattan, man. It's been 30 years since. It's gonna be 30 years next year since Rangers won.
Hey, he's only a playoff series streak snapper, not a not a cup snapper. Man, I mean, for him at least, it's a cool moment for Leafs fans, all things considered. I mean, are they super annoying? Absolutely, but they deserve to win, I think.
Fair enough. All right, just going through round two since we don't really have much else. Leafs Panthers, how many games? Who wins?
Toronto 6.
What do you think? I agree with that. I think it'll be a tough series, but it'll be a fun one to watch. Canes Devils.
Devils in 7.
Oof.
What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think it goes 7. I want to say the Hurricanes. I think this is probably the series that Schmid gets exposed for.
He's going to be under the Corsi attack of the Hurricanes for sure.
I think this is when he gets exposed for the fraud that he is. Or I'm going to be eating crow and he makes out of this one alive. But then he's got to play Toronto. And the thing is, every team he's facing has better shooters. The Rangers were probably the weakest shooters that he faced. Now he's got to play Carolina with Aho, Jarvis, Nietzsche's. Their defensive core, which scores a lot of goals.
And they're fast, too. I think they match up well with the Devils in terms of like speed.
And then if you make it to the conference final and the Leafs are there, you got to play Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, Marner. It's that is they got some shooters over there too. So it'll be tough. Kraken Stars.
Stars in 6. You know, go ahead. You go first.
I think it's Seattle in 7.
He's gonna say, man, Seattle looked really freaking good. I don't know. I like the Stars. They got a good center core. They got an elite defenseman, an elite goalie. That's why I picked them to win the cup. I mean, but man, Seattle really looked good against Colorado.
They look good, man. I mean, like,
a real team effort. That's a team right there.
And I mean, I was texting you about it. I'm like, Bjorkstrand easily could have had a hat trick. I mean, the guy hit 5 posts.
He scored 2 goals and hit 3 posts. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then Knights Oilers.
Oilers in 6.
I got Vegas in 7. But
I would take Vegas in.
I don't hate Oilers in 6 either.
If I'm Laurent Brossoit, I am like crapping my pants right now thinking about that series. Like if you give Edmonton 2-3 power plays a game, I think they are legitimately guaranteed 2 goals a game.
Yeah,
if Vegas has Leonard or Thompson healthy, I'm picking Vegas probably. But that goaltending scares the hell out of me if I'm Vegas.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think if anything, like that's probably the series I would maybe.
I'm interested in that one.
Label like a sweep if it really depends how game one goes tomorrow. I mean, if like the Oilers just come out dominating and they like completely shut down Vegas game one, I could easily see that maybe being a gentleman's sweep.
It's not impossible.
So the only power play is just the best power play ever.
So do we give our predictions for Toronto? Did we say that?
I don't think I did. I think Toronto wins, what did you say, in 6? Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'm in line with that thinking. I think Florida's scrappy enough to win a few games. Yeah. But I think I don't think Bob has what it takes to beat the likes of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So I got Jersey, Toronto, which is like my hell. And then I have Dallas, Edmonton, and you have Carolina.
Toronto, Canes, Seattle. And then honestly, I kind of want to take back what I said about the Vegas Oilers. I don't even know if I can. Yeah, fuck it. I'm going Oilers Oilers in 6, yeah.
I feel bad for my dad made a bracket. Me and my parents make bracket every year. My dad, he originally had Winnipeg over Vegas, and they switched back to Vegas over Winnipeg, and he was like, you know what? I'm sticking by my guns. Winnipeg in 6. I was like, oh, man, that's a tough one.
Brutal.
See that.
They got a really fucked up situation there, too. because
they have some serious problems going on there.
Rick Bonus. Woo-hoo. Yikes. I don't blame him. I mean, if every single player leaves that team, says that they have a toxic culture, and Rick Bonus says it, and Paul Maurice literally resigned, but then now, of course, you have Blake Wheeler, who was stripped of the captaincy, mind you, be like, you know, I didn't think that was very fair. Like, come on, man. We know you're not telling the truth here.
It's like the SpongeBob meme where him and I think Patrick are like terrorizing Bikini Bottom, and then there's like the wanted posters of like SpongeBob, and they're the police trying to figure out. We're just trying to figure out who did this. I think you should leave. The guy who, when he's at the hot dog and he crashes the hot dog car into the building, and he's like, literally, we're all trying to figure out who did this. That's Blake Wheeler. We're all just trying to figure out who did this.
Last note before I think we can sign off, since we're already at an hour. How about Boston, man?
Okay, so it was mind-boggling when it happened. I was very happy because I took Florida that game. My cousin said he was taking – my cousin took both dogs that game, so he had Florida and Kraken. So he won a fairly decent amount of money. What?
In a parlay?
I don't know if he parlayed them or just took them both straight up, or if he did all three, took them both straight and parlay, if he really was feeling ballsy. So he won a decent chunk of change. But I was really happy that Florida won for money purposes. But that was the worst overtime I've ever seen for Boston. I mean, they had seven turnovers in the neutral zone. I mean, it was almost like it felt like they were trying to lose. And I think I had said it all year, you know, it was Boston's cup to lose. And I think people who watched them play in the playoffs, I think the players probably say the same thing. They did not look great the entire like series. They really looked like a shell of a team
They were too hurt.
Sucks.
Honestly, they were record chasing at the end of the year, playing Ullmark when he was hurt, playing Bergeron for the last game when he was hurt. Probably a couple other guys were banged up. I think they were record chasing instead of rest. As soon as you locked that President's Trophy, you probably should have said, okay, let's bring up some guys from Providence and let's cool our Jets here. Be nice to have the record, but like now you have the record and you're looked at as a laughing stock.
Yeah, you're the most winningest team and you got the most points ever, and you got eliminated in the first round. It sucks that was probably Bergeron's last game. He was crying, leaving the ice. Krejci's probably done.
That 1,000-yard stare from Bergeron was nuts.
He was
into the abyss.
Yeah. And he playing with a herniated disc too, man. I mean, just crazy.
He got hurt in the first shift of game 1, too. I forget exactly
what Bertuzzi said that, he's going to need a couple days to figure out if he's going to stay or go.
They have the money unless they trade Taylor Hall.
Yeah, so I don't. I don't feel bad for the Bruins, but I don't feel bad for the Bruins fans. But it sucks that you were eliminated after the season you had. But also, credit to me and flowers to me for essentially predicting it down to a T. Like yeah. I fucking nailed it.
Nailed it. That was great by you. So last night with the Bruins, I mean, what a crazy move. Okay, I get why they started Swayman. Probably should have started him in game 5 or 6 when Ullmark was hurt. The fact that you go to your presser after the game and be like, yeah, man, you got to ask the goalie coach about that one when you're Jim Montgomery. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's a tough quote for Monty.
Stand by your guys. And like, he was getting shredded on Twitter. People are calling for him to be fired. It's crazy.
Hey, man, if Boston wants to fire Jim Montgomery, I'll take him in a heartbeat. third time's a charm.
Honestly, right?
I texted you about it, I think, and I texted my buddy who's a Pens fan. I said, when I heard that Swayman was starting, and I was telling my dad this too, I'm like, it kind of reminded me of the Penguins last year. And I understand they, you know, it's a different situation. You know, Jari was hurt and then I don't even know who their backup was. And then Deming played a handful of games. DeSmith. But, you know, Jari got the okay to, you know, he could play, and then they played him, and, you know, he kind of just got left out to dry.
And into the ground, man. I mean, I would have started Swayman game 5 or 6 just to give Ullmark a break, man.
You give him a couple days break, and then, you know, you're in a game 7, and then you're Ullmark, you're back in. You don't think he's going to be hyped up game 7 playing the way he did? I mean, they fucking essentially told him he's going to win the Vezina.
Hopefully they give it to Sorokin. It's not going to happen. Can only dream. All right, we can wrap her up. I got nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me too. Thank you for listening. We'll figure out what we're going to be doing with the podcast in the coming weeks. We'll probably a few weeks
see what's going on in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll probably reconvene once round 2's over, talk about round 2, and then we'll probably continue doing that. So probably there'll be a couple episodes here and there going into the summer. So we appreciate everyone listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, the Anchor app, or Podcasting for Creators, or Spotify for Podcasters. There you go. And Google Podcast. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and write a nice review. Follow the podcast account out at From Broad to Bell. We probably won't be tweeting on that for a while, so give us a follow anyway. Though
happens.
And yeah,
unless we have to do an emergency podcast about a firing, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean that's very much on the table. I do think Gallant gets canned at some point. He probably gets canned between now and before the draft, I think.
It'll happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would say between now, before like mid-June, I think he'll probably be gone. So
mid-May.
Yeah. We lost one running joke with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but the Rangers have the opportunity to keep another one alive. So hopefully they do the right thing and fire Gallant and not hire Joel Quenneville.
All right, folks.
Anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we'll see these teams next year.
Sad.
Let's have a fun rest of the playoffs and win some money if we're going to do that. See you guys later. Peace. We'll be right back.